get you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. It's good to have Lauren Culver with us this morning. Lauren she sat under the gospel of Brother Henry, and she's sat under the gospel of Brother Todd Nybert, and she's now living in Brooklyn. That's a strange place for a Kentucky girl to be. Well, we're glad to have you. Now, last time in John chapter 3, and you'll find this in your bulletin, we looked at John chapter 3:16. And we noticed that this word so, for God so loved the world. This word so is a Greek word, translated from a Greek word, which means after this manner. It's translated after this manner in several other places in Scripture. But when we consider the Lord's word to Nicodemus up to this point, we understand the manner after which God loves. I want to review this with you, and then we're going to go to 1 John and have a supplement to last week's Bible study. Verse 3, this is the manner in which God loves. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." God loves through the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, the Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen." The Lord loves through the gospel. Through the gospel. Verse 13, he said, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." God loves through the Mediator, Christ Jesus, the Son of Man. Verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." God loves through the righteousness of Christ, our substitute. He was made to be what His people are, that He might make His people the righteousness of God in Him. Verse 15, "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." God loves through faith. God first trusted His Son, and He gives faith to those that Christ redeemed and makes us willing to trust His Son. And that's how God loves. God loves, now turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. God loves in a holy manner, in a righteous manner, everlastingly, particularly, savingly. And His love is manifested by Him giving His Son, in whom all of these things are accomplished for and in His people. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. "Beloved, if God so," there's the same word again, "if God after this manner loved us, we ought also to love one another." Now, I want to take those same points. I'm going to just cut them down to 3 points. But I want to take those 3 points that we saw last week and what I just went over with you and how God loves and see that John's saying the same thing. This is how we ought to love one another. First of all, through the Spirit, through the gospel. Look at verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now, those that are born of the Spirit of truth, through the gospel of truth, are born of the same Spirit. And we believe the same word of truth. We believe the same Lord. The same God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit manifest in Christ Jesus the Lord. We love Him. We honor Him. We desire for Him to be honored. Now, love which desires honor from men, and I really shouldn't even call this love, but love that desires honor from men at the expense of the truth is not love. That's not love at all. We see it in Christ's dealings with Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to the Lord, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a master. He was a highly esteemed man. The kind of man that by nature we like to receive honor from. We want that kind of man to like us by nature. We want all men to like us by nature. But he came to the Lord and he said some very honorable things to the Lord. He called him Rabbi, Master. He said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." But though these words sounded honorable from a man who was esteemed by much honor from men, our Lord didn't compromise the truth of the gospel. Because in fact, what Nicodemus was doing was denying the Son of God. He was denying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was calling Him a master, but that's all he was calling Him. He was calling Him a man, but that's all he was calling Him. He was calling Him a man come from God, just as Isaiah was and Jeremiah was. He was putting Him on equal plane with every other prophet God had ever sent. And the Lord spoke to Nicodemus and proved to him through the gospel, or proved to us through the gospel, that he didn't believe Christ. He wasn't a brother. He didn't believe Christ. Jesus said, "Are you a master in Israel and you don't know these things?" And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know." John says here in 1 John 2 or 3 there, at the end of 1 John 2, or verse 20, he says, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." The believer knows in part. We saw this Thursday night. But the believer knows Christ is all. We know that He is all in salvation. We know that He has accomplished the work. He has finished the work God gave Him to do. And we know that nothing can be added to what He done or taken from what He done. And we believe Him through faith and lay hold of Him. And He's all our hope and all our stay. We trust Him. We love Him. We desire Him. We long for Him. He is our reward. And God the Father is our God. He's our Father. He's our heavenly Father. And we're the sons of God. And we know that. And we know that no lie is of the truth. We know that. We looked Thursday night how that the Scripture's free will is a lie. We know that because Scripture clearly says in Romans 3, Paul said, "There's none good, no, not one." How does that exalt my Savior? How does depravity, why would a believer love to hear the gospel declare to him that there is none good, no, not one? Why would we love to hear that? Because it exalts Christ our Savior. He is the Holy One. He is the one born of a virgin. He is the one come from God that's holy. He is the one in whom is no sin. He is the Holy One. Why do I love to hear that there's none that seeketh? There's none that seeketh God. Why is that glorious truth of our absolute inability and total depravity so glorious to know? Because Christ said, "I came not to do mine own will, but I came to do the will of Him that sent me." He began His earthly ministry saying, "I must be about my Father's business." Throughout His earthly ministry, He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And at the end, you know what He cried out? "It is finished." That exalts Christ. I want to be in the dust. I want to see my Savior high and lifted up. High and lifted up. And we know, brethren, that the lie that says that there's some good in us, that there's some natural willingness in us by our first birth, and that, we know that's a lie. We know that. But He declared that. He said, "We testify that we've seen." And He said, you receive not our witness. He told Nicodemus, you don't receive our witness. It's the nature of man. We really want all men to like us. But love doesn't compromise the gospel in preference for the honor of men. But love will declare the gospel to men lovingly, mercifully, in meekness, even though it will mean in our persons we will be despised and rejected. But remember this, just like the Lord told Samuel, they have not rejected you, they've rejected me. They've rejected me. Look over at John 5. I want you to see this. Hold your place there. John 5. When we seek honor from men, in other words, men who will compromise this gospel, the reason men will do it is they seek honor from men rather than the honor that comes from God. This is what our Lord says. Watch John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. You go to these Scriptures searching for something to do that you might live. And he says, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. How did he know this? I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. That's how. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You see that? You see that? Look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. But look, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. There's no difference between Christ and Moses. There's no difference between Christ and any of the brethren in our unity. We're one through the Spirit. And if you believe Christ, you'll believe our gospel. We're not the standard. This gospel's the standard. For he wrote of me, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? John Calvin said this. He said, when we regard our own advantage, and we return good offices to friends, it's self-love, and it's not love to others. Now let me show you how John said that. In 2 John 1:10, he said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. What we do is when somebody says, well, I believe a man has to make his own decision, and that's how we come to Christ, by our will. When we don't say anything, brethren, and we receive that man as a brother and bid him Godspeed on his way, we have given that man justification for that lie. He walks away saying, he believes what I believe. What better love is there than to nicely, patiently, in meekness say, you know, if I can show you in the Scriptures that that's not what God's Word says, will you receive Him? Let me show you here where the Lord says there's none that seeks Him. He has to give you a willing heart. He has to create you anew. You have to be born of Him and given an understanding and be drawn by God the Father. And then you will willingly come. You have no other choice. You'll come desiring what God the Father desires, Christ to be exalted. That's love. Now that means we might not get the honor from that person that we like by nature. But if we desire honor from men rather than the truth of the gospel to be set forth, that's not love, brethren. That's not love. So we love in spirit through the truth. I was reminded when Lauren emailed me, I was reminded of a fond memory. When I first moved to Nashville, I was there and I was lonesome. And that was like Brooklyn to me. I came from way back in the country. And I was lonesome. And I remember calling Pastor Marvin Steinecker, and we were talking on the telephone. I was wanting to go out there to worship, and I remember him just began to talk about Christ to me. And I mean, I had never laid eyes on the man, and immediately there was that bond. There was that tie. Oh, a brother. I'm not alone. There's a brother. And been that bond's grown stronger and stronger since that day. That's what I'm talking about. This, look here at 1 John 4. Look at verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We believe Him, brethren. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and He in God. Confessing that He's the Son of God is confessing that He came of the Father for a chosen people. He went to the cross. He redeemed that people from all iniquity. He's returned to the Father. He's the King of heaven and earth, reigning and ruling supremely. And He shall save His people from their sins. It's not to deny Him is to put the salvation in the hands of men. To declare Him truly to be the Son of God is to declare He's God, a sovereign God, able to save to the uttermost. And He shall not fail. He has not failed. He is not failing, and He shall not fail. He has saved us. He's saving us, and He shall save us. We saw this morning. That's declaring the Son of God. Now, look at the second point. We love as God loved, after this manner, in Christ our Mediator, in our righteous substitute. Look at verse 9 and 10. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Because God everlastingly loved those that He gave to Christ Jesus the Lord, He sent His Son for them. He sent His Son into this world to redeem them. And not that we love God. Those that God loved didn't love Him. We were enemies in our minds by wicked works, and we didn't love Him. Yet God sent His Son even though we didn't love Him. He sent His Son. And He gave His Son not only to live, but to give us life through His death. And not just any death, the death of the cross, brethren. When we look at the cross and we see what He endured, the suffering He endured, we see but in part. We try to enter into what it is for this one who did not know sin to be made sin for His brethren. I can't enter into that. I can't enter into what it would be like for God to charge me with sin because I've always known sin. I deserve to be charged with sin. It's hard for me to enter into the fact that God won't charge me with sin. But Christ, who knew no sin and had the iniquity of His people laid on Him, and bore the wrath of God, God the Father turning His back on Christ Jesus in righteous judgment. This is love. This is love. This is love. And He made satisfaction to God for everyone for whom He died. He obtained eternal redemption. He obtained eternal redemption. He didn't make an attempt at it. He didn't try and give it His best shot. He didn't do it. If you'll just do something and put your stamp of approval on it, He accomplished the work. He finished the work. And the Lord said, I've everlastingly loved you. Therefore, in loving kindness have I drawn you. Now, brethren, if God loved us after this manner, this is the manner we ought to love one another. God gave His best. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His very best. God doesn't want what we have left over. God doesn't. If all we're going to give God is our spare time, we can fit Him in, and our what we have left over after we spend everything we want to spend on ourselves. God don't even give it. God don't want that. We give the gospel of His Son is the best we have to give. And everything that He's provided for us, we have for the purpose of providing for one another. Isn't that right? What other... He gives it to provide for us, and everything that He's put in our hands, He's given us to provide for our brethren. He loved us when we didn't love Him. You know, if He went to the cross and He didn't bear His own sin, He bore my sin. So if I get in this spirit when I'm offended by one of you, my brethren, I get in this spirit that I'm in the right. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm in the right. I get in this spirit, I'm not bending. I haven't done anything wrong. I need to remember, I'm sure glad my Savior didn't do that. Because He was in the right. He had done no wrong. And yet He bore my burden in His own body. And that'll make you want to bear the burden of your brethren. I can bear with His sin. If He's offended at me, there's sin, I can bear it. What did Paul tell the Galatians? If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself what we are, lest you also be tempted to stiffen up that neck and harden that heart and say, I'm not bending. But listen to what he said. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, I'm in the right. I take myself to be something when I'm nothing. I'm deceiving myself, aren't I? You know what Paul told the Corinthians? He said, you're suing one another, you're going to law with one another, you're arguing with one another. He said, why don't you rather just take the fault? Just take the fault. He laid down His life for us. Look at 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Do you have this world's good? I'll tell you, you have the goods that the Lord has provided you, substance and those things, but you also have that which is good for this world in this truth of the gospel. And we're going to shut up our bowels of compassion in either regard, whether it's our substance or this truth of God. My little children, let us not love in word, not in letter, not going here and seeking something that says, well, this says I ought to do this, so I'm going to do it. Neither in tongue, not just saying it, oh, I love you. But indeed, actually doing it, doing the work. And in truth, in spirit and in truth, from a heart that really loves you, brethren. And hereby know we that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. You know, if my brethren need me to assemble with them under the sound of the gospel for encouragement, you know I need that. I need that. And you need that. So you know what I'm going to do? Lay down my life. If I shut up my bowels of compassion, how can I say the love of God dwells in me? My brethren need me to pray for them. So you know what I'm going to do? Lay down my life for you. My brethren need me to provide my substance for them. So I lay down my life. My brethren need me to love them back to Christ and not claim my rights. Isn't that what you need? When you're in error, you need your brethren to love you back to Christ. You know what that's going to entail? Us laying down our life. My brethren need a word of grace, not a condemning tongue. You know what that's going to require of us? Laying down our life. Laying down our life. For the sake of the glory of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. This one who gave His only begotten Son. This one who came and laid down His life for us. That's not too much to ask, is it? For us to lay down our life. Well, here's the third thing. First, He loves through the Spirit. We love through the Spirit. He loves through the truth. We love through the truth. He loves through a mediator. We love through a mediator. Pray, God, make me one with my brother in You. He can do that. He can tie that knot so tight and strengthen it so that it can't be broken in that mediator. Just as He's done between you and the Father. God loves through the righteousness of the substitute. He who was made sin that made us the righteousness of God in Him. So we remember that. We deal with one another in mercy. In mercy. Not this harsh, condemning judgment. Mercy. Mercy. And here's the fifth thing. God loved us through faith in His Son. And so we ought to love one another. God the Father entrusted our salvation into the hands of His Son. And to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He accomplished that work. So let us love one another that same way. Through faith in His Son. Look over at 1 John 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now look over at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, if we've asked according to His will, and we know He hears us, we're going to always get what we ask for. Look at this. For whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now what does that have to do with loving our brethren? What does that have to do with trusting Christ Jesus? Loving our brethren through faith in Christ. What does that have to do with that? Look at the next verse. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. That sin unto death is turning and going obstinately away from God, proving that you have a reprobate mind, that you have no love for God, no desire for Christ. You sin against the Holy Spirit. You completely fall away in unbelief and leave forever. Reprobate mind. This is what he says of any sin that one another falls into. He says, you believe him? You have confidence in Him that anything you ask according to His will, you'll get it. He'll give it to you. Well, he says here, if your brother is in error, he's in sin, you come to him and you ask, Lord, save my brother. If it be Thy will, save my brother. This one who you laid down your life for, save him. You know what his will is? To save him. To save him. That's what he came for. And that's what he'll do. And you'll have what you ask for. God is able. He's able. He's able to save to the uttermost. He says he'll give him life. He'll give him life. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And not only will he restore us to the Father, but He's able to make us stand by edifying us and turning us from whatever would destroy us back to Him. This is Him. So here it is. Here's the conclusion. God loved us after this manner. Through the Spirit, through the Gospel, let us love one another in spirit and in truth. He loved us through Christ the Mediator, the righteous substitute. So let us love our brethren in mercy, laying down our lives for one another as He did for us. And through faith in His Son. That's how He loved us. So let us have every confidence that God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory and honor of God the Father, commit it to Him and ask Him to save our brethren. And He will. He will. Now back to 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God, after this manner, loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen.